Thank you, Pastor. It's a pleasure being up here. I know when Pastor and I were talking about he was going to be gone and he kind of needed somebody to fill in, I was said, sure, I'll fill in for you. I like to preach and like to be able to worship with you people. So it was kind of a foregone conclusion. I saw a big smile on his face and thought, you know, he would appreciate that. The text today is in James 5, 13 through 18. And the main intent of James 5, 13 through 18 is on prayer. In fact, seven times in those few chapters, it talks about prayer. So I thought, boy, you know, I like to pray, and so it'll be fairly easy for me to talk about prayer. Well, you know, it is easy to talk about prayer. It's kind of hard when you get up here and actually have to do it. The knees get the knocking and the hand gets a little shaky and all that other kind of stuff. But it is a pleasure to be up here because when you hear people talk about grace, is that one of the things that is said is grace is a praying church. And we know that. We hear that all the time. And so you guys, you people, you families are doing a really good job of teaching your students, your kids, whoever they are, how to pray. And that is very helpful when it comes from you. Now, I looked up in the good old Safari or whatever you want to call that on the computer and said, what's a good prayer? And they listed all kinds of prayers. And so I said, I don't know very many of those because in my family, we did not pray. Just my father and mother weren't into that. And so I didn't get to learn that stuff as a youngster, is that I didn't learn how to pray until I was a senior in high school. And then I didn't learn how to pray very well. But I had a great family that was from Grace, and they taught me how to pray. And they didn't say, you need to pray these words. They just prayed all the time. And so, you know, I knew that just by listening to them, kind of osmosis, and that, hey, you know, those prayers sound really good because myself, Beth Peterson, and several others around here, they prayed for all the time. When I left St. Helens and joined the Navy and traveled all around the world, every time I came home to St. Helens, I would visit Chuck and Sandy, and they would tell me that we've been praying for you every day. I knew wherever I went, whether I was on the submarine 1,000 feet under the water or wherever I was at, I was being prayed for. And that meant a whole lot for me, that knowing that somebody was praying for me. But for you, is that, you know, you helped your kids. I know you helped your kids because I used to teach Wednesday night and some of those others, and I heard the kids pray. Now, one of the prayers that that we didn't really teach them very much, but said kind of like this: "Now I lay my lay me down to sleep." See, I didn't learn this prayer, and I'm trying to read it off a piece of paper that I wrote, which isn't very good. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Angels watch me through the night and wake me up the morning light." And amen. That was usually, at least as far as I knew, that was a evening prayer. That when we put our kids to bed, you know, that was a prayer that was prayed. And I asked several people, and they said, oh, yeah, we used to do that all the time, and that was really good. And then, you know, I like to watch Blue Bloods. How many people watch Blue Bloods? Oh, there is quite a few people that watch Blue Bloods. Now, Blue Bloods is a police show about a family in New York, and I watch them not all the time. I used to watch them all the time, but the new ones I don't really get into. But they always have a Sunday afternoon lunchtime, and the whole family gets together. And before the meal, they pray. They used to, when Linda was on there, they used to actually hold hands. Sometimes they didn't like to do it, but she would force them to hold hands. And they would pray a prayer like this: "Bless us, O Lord, that these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from the bounty through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And that was their meal prayer. And I thought, you know, that's very good, but when it becomes a ritual, something that you just say, that really you just say it to say it. Now, you could tell that Linda prayed it with meaning. She usually added in a few other words and a few things that were her own choice. And so that was something that she did. And it really did add quite a bit of meaning to that prayer. But so when Pastor asked me to preach on James 5 and on 13 through 18, which is, like I said, part of prayer. They talk about praying seven times in those few verses. So I'm going to read those real quick for you. You can follow along in your Bible. And if you have one of the new Bibles, which I decided I would use, it's on page 977. On my other Bible, it's a little different because it is just New Testament. But on the new ones that we're given. And the power of prayer. Are there any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises, as we have at the beginning of the service. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you will be healed. Earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human just as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again, the skies opened up, and the earth began to yield her crops. So that is kind of a little bit about prayer. But what is prayer? You know, prayer is just communication with God. And one gentleman one time asked me, how do you pray? And I said, well, I just talk to the Lord. And he said, well, how do you do that? And well, so I showed him in the Bible in Matthew, the Lord's Prayer. But I said, I don't like to do that. You know, I like to talk to the Lord. And so I like to make sure that everybody knows that he is Lord. Hallowed be thy name. So we can use that as we are praying. Now, you know, I love to fish. Chuck, do I like to fish? Occasionally, once or twice a week, or three or four or five times. Maybe six sometimes. But when I go down to fish, if I haven't prayed on the way, when I get there, I pray. Now, I call this, forgive me, I call this a selfish prayer. Because I'm not praying for anybody else, I'm praying for myself. Or the guys that are with me, which there are three or four guys that fish with me, but I pray for myself. I remember one time I was out on the boat fishing with these guys, and they were not real friends of mine. I knew them, but that was about it. And I end up catching like a 10-pound salmon. And the guys were all whooping it up, and I said, yeah, I prayed, and I caught a fish. And they said, yeah, but we haven't caught a fish. And I said, I looked right at the captain. I said, yeah, because I didn't pray for you. I prayed for me. And the Lord blessed me with a fish. Since then, he's caught a lot of fish, but, you know, at that time. So we can pray, and we can know that God will answer our prayers, as we're going to sing some songs towards the end of the service. God will answer your prayers, as we have heard in the text of this. We know God will answer prayers. We believe that God will answer prayers. We trust that God will answer prayers. How many of you have had prayers answered? And I know everybody's hand should go up because there have been a lot of answered prayers in this church. We look at Don, and he lived much longer than he was supposed to because of the prayers of this church reached out to God for him. And we've seen that happen as somebody is sick or somebody is in trouble, somebody is in a hardship, and we've prayed for them, and we've seen those answers to prayer as they're out there. Fervent prayers. So if you pray, you need to believe. That's why the ritual prayers are ritual prayers. But when you believe that God will answer your prayers, your specific prayers, they will happen. Sometimes it doesn't happen the way that we want them to, because if it did, I would catch every fish that was in the water. And I don't do that. You know, I don't get a fish every day, but God knows what I need. God knows if I need a fish this week, I'll catch a fish this week, or maybe two. He will answer our prayers. You know, many times at night, when I'm sleeping, is that I'll say, God, I want to catch a fish this week, but how do I do it? How do I catch a fish down there? And these how to catch fish kind of goes through my mind. Do I use a coon shrimp and a spingler, or do you use a flatfish? Or do I start on a new way of fishing down there? And something will pop in my head, a way of fishing that's a little different than some of the other people that are down there. And I think, you know, maybe I should try that. God told me that that will work. And for quite a few times, that has worked. As Chuck will tell you, I fish in a little different way sometimes. Sometimes people laugh at me, but I catch a couple fish, one or two here. So I know that God is out there with me. I also know that several of the people that are down there know that I pray beforehand. Some of them have called me up in between fishing days and said, Dan, would you pray for my brother? And the first time it happened, I didn't say no, but I said, well, sure, I will pray for your brother. What is wrong with your brother? And he said, my brother's very sick, has a heart problem, is a smoker, and all this other kind of stuff. And he's not expected to live very long, so would you pray for my brother? And so I prayed for his brother, prayed for him several times. And the next time I saw him on the river, I said, Jeff, how is your brother? And he said, he's doing great. Thank you very much for your prayers. And because Jeff's not a Christian, we kind of pretty well know that, right, Chuck? So, you know, praying for other people. I know one time when I was in Indonesia and handing out Bibles on one of my Gideon trips, who was out there, and this one day, the Gideons that were with me said, we need to go to this nursing home. And, you know, I'm not a good hospital guy, but I said, okay, you know, whatever you want. And so we went to the nursing home and we handed out lots of Bibles. And we went up to the top of this building that was there. And they said, these are richer people, but they're in dire need of help. Their life expectancy was not very long. And so I kind of said, well, okay, I'll stand outside while you go in and visit these people. And so I stood outside the door for just a little bit, and they came out and they said, Dan, this family would like you to pray for their grandfather, great-grandfather, he's a little older gentleman. And I kind of thought, oh boy, you know, I don't know much about this, but yeah, I'll pray. And here was this older gentleman laying on the bed, and he was definitely on his last legs or last breath, and he was laboring while he was breathing. And they said, "We want you to pray." And so I asked the Holy Spirit, what do I say? I don't know this guy. You know, I don't know anything about the family. And so, Lord, help me to pray a prayer that will help this person. And so I laid my hands on him, and I prayed. And as I prayed, it was just a little short prayer, but you could feel his body just kind of relax. And his breathing became more steady, and the family was very appreciative. And the gentleman lasted for a while longer. He was, you know, in his last days. But they were very appreciative that we prayed, or I prayed for him, just for calmness and peace in his last days and last hours. And we can do that. You know, I'm not a keen one to go to hospitals, but, you know, whatever it takes to pass out the word of God. The same place, I was at a hospital and walked into this room, and there was like 10 patients in a room. They real small room, lots of people. And this one guy was standing there, and he had his arm in a wooden sling, like you see on the movies where they just put a couple of boards there and wrap some cloth around his arm, and you could tell he was he was hurting. And I walked up and talked to him, and as I worked my way around the room, and I got to him, and I said, well, what is wrong with you? And he said, I broke my arm. And he was pretty young, in his lower 20s. I said, well, you know, that shouldn't take long to heal up. And he said, I've been like this for 6 months. And I thought, oh, wow. And he said, would you pray for me? And I thought, you know, that's... So I said, sure. And so I laid my hands on him, and I prayed. And when I got done praying, I looked at him, and he had the big smile on his face. And he said, my arm doesn't hurt anymore. Thank you so much. That was great that, you know, the Holy Spirit, I prayed, but it was an answer from the Holy Spirit that it healed that guy's arm right there. And, you know, that was great. What gave me the power to do that is nobody gave me the power. I'm not that eloquent, or I don't have any of that power, but the power came from the Holy Spirit telling me what to say, when to say, and how to say it. And if you ever have the opportunity, just ask Jesus for help. Ask the Holy Spirit for help, that you will know what to say and how to say it. And God will heal that person. We don't have to think that we have all of that power. And that's what it talks about in 13. It says, are any of you suffering and have hardships? Pray. If any of you are happy, you should sing praises. If any of you are sick, you should call on the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil and in the name of the Lord. And the big thing is the last, in the name of the Lord. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. We have not done that a lot here. When I traveled to other nations, is that was a pretty common practice, was to have people from the congregation and come up and be anointed with oil and pray. The first country that I went to, in Nigeria, that's what they did. And they asked me to do it. And I, you know, I'd never been to Nigeria before. I didn't know these people. And they said, would you anoint these people with prayer and pray over them? And I had, of course, I'm not sure that they knew what I was saying because they didn't understand English, but they wanted me to pray over them. So I did. And it was an interesting time. There were several people that came forward, quite a few that came to the other people that was there, but we anointed them with oil and pray. If any of you would like to be anointed with oil, you can call up pastor or any one of the elders and make an appointment. You don't have to come up here. It doesn't say in there that you need to come up in front of the church. But if you would like to be anointed with oil and pray, we will do that. Pastor's got the oil. There's always a couple of us elders that are around, and if you would call them up and make, you know, give us a couple hours to, if we're, this is with me, I got to get off the fishing river, but would be able to come and help you out if you need any help and want to do that. And you will be made well. It says, confess your sins with each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. I know that there are several groups, small Bible studies that meet all the time and that pray. And we pray for lots of you that are out there. And we see a lot of you being healed because of those prayers, made well. There are other times where the staff and the elders pray. Now, we filled out those connection cards, right? You guys did that, right? Filled out one of these? If you have any prayer requests, please write those on there, because the elders especially meet, and we get copies of these, and we go over those prayer requests. Now, Monday is that Pastor and I get together, and some Monday evenings, the elders get together, and we go over the list, and we pray for everybody on that list. Tuesday morning, the staff meets, and they use those connection cards to go over all of the people that have asked for prayer requests on there. The elders, we do it every day. We look at those prayer requests, and every day we will be praying for you. Thursday nights, the ladies and the men's get together, and I know that they pray for you people. There are lots of times throughout the week or these prayer requests will pop in our head. It doesn't have to be at church. It doesn't have to be at home. Usually when I'm driving around the road, I try not to do that because I get distracted. But, you know, we are looking at those prayers and seeing, you know, who we want to pray for. We try to go through the whole list because we don't want to leave anybody out, but we're praying for you. It doesn't have to be because you're sick. You know, you may be looking for a job. You may be thinking about moving or anything like that. Anything that you would like us to pray for you, that God will help you through that process. And that will happen. You look at Elijah. We read about Elijah. And, you know, Elijah was a prophet. He wasn't a really well-known prophet. But Elijah prayed, didn't he? And what happened when he prayed? He got an answer, and it was probably not what everybody wanted, because what happened is it didn't rain for 3.5 years. No rain at all. What would happen if it didn't rain in Oregon for 3.5 years? Whoa, that would not be good. But Elijah, he prayed in 3.5 years. There was some complaining, but you know, it did happen. And then he prayed, and all of a sudden the rain comes down, and just the right amount of rain. And he said the sky went sent down rain, and the earth began to yield their crops. Things started growing again, just like in Oregon if it had that period of time. Of course, we would probably have fires all over the place and all that kind of stuff. But our crops would start growing again. How is this meaningful to you? You need to pray. You need to go to the backboard, find that yellow sheet that's out there, and look at who needs prayed for. You need to contact people that you know and see if there are things that you need to pray for them. People will, when you pray for them, they'll feel the prayer, maybe, and hear the prayer, but that will open up other prayers that will come in. Excuse me. One of the things that we know is that the CCMH, people that come in here all the time and deliver goods for us, you know, bread and stuff like that. They have asked us to pray for people that are on their team or that they know that needs prayer. We need to pray. We need to continue to pray so that God will lead each one of us. You don't have to pray a canned prayer. Just talk to God. One of the prayers that we use, or that a lot of people use, is the Lord's Prayer. And it says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Simple little prayer. It covers a lot of ground in that simple little prayer. The one that, not that I use, but that I look at all the time and I think about all the time, is in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And it says, "Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing." We need to do that. Pray without ceasing. Let people know when you pray for them. Let them know that you have prayed for them. Hear the results and see what those people will do afterwards. A lot of your friends will ask you to pray for them, and we need to be able to do that. "Pastor, I think I'm finished." We need to pray, right? I didn't give you much of a time to...